Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
You know, God still speaks to us today in dreams. Pay attention to your dreams. Dreams from God are prophetic in nature. They speak about the future. Joseph had a dream where God was telling him about his future, talking to him about his purpose. And he went and shared that with his brothers. He said, my stalks of grain stood up and your stalks bowed to me. Now, of course, brothers wouldn't appreciate that from another brother if they said that to him, and his brothers did not. And besides that, his father favored Joseph, so therefore they were jealous and envious against him. And the Bible says when he told them the dream, they hated him even more. Why don't you read verse 9, Steve?
And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.
Keep going.
And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?
Now, this is interesting because when he told his dream to his father also interpreted a dream. He said, if the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are the bow, you're talking about your family. Are you saying that even your mother and myself, we're going to bow to you? It's okay about those boys, but don't you start talking about your parents bowing to you. But the Bible says, but he took note of the dream. Now, what I want to mention to you is, be very careful who you share your dreams with. Now, it's interesting that your spiritual covering will often be able to confirm the purpose that God is revealing to you about your life. The Bible says that his father Jacob took note of the dream. He rebuked him, but then he said, God is doing something with my son. Sounds like he's going to a place of authority. He took notice of the dream. But on the other hand, his brothers hated him the more. Now, let me say this to you about your dreams. If you share your dreams with the wrong person, Satan will use them to rise up against you, to stop the purpose and the plan of God for your life. You remember that when the wise men went to Herod and said, we've seen the star of the Christ, the Messiah, and we came to the palace thinking he's here. We're looking for the King of the Jews. Now, what's interesting is Herod had the title of King of the Jews. Therefore, he was very upset. There's another king of the Jews? Oh, I tell you what. Do me a favor. When you find him, let me know where he is so that I may worship him too. See, the devil used envy against Christ. But the Bible tells us that an angel appeared to the wise men in a dream and said, don't go back there. Go another way. But we find out Herod went and he killed all of the children of a certain age and up because he was trying to stop the fulfillment of God's purpose in the life of Jesus. Where do we see that also? We also see that with Joseph right here. When Joseph shared with his brothers about the dream, through envy, Satan drove his brothers to attempt to destroy him because they began saying, let's kill him. Let's kill our brother. And then what will become of his dreams? Steve, why don't you read for us verses 18 through 20?
And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.
So you see how the devil will use people to try to destroy God's purpose in your life. Be very careful who you share your dreams with. Now let's continue to read verses 24 to 28, because they placed him in a pit and they sold him. Go ahead.
And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt.
Now the brothers thought they were getting rid of Joseph and destroying God's purpose. What they didn't realize was they were simply setting him on the course in the direction that God was sending him in. God establishes the course of our lives through circumstances. Often God doesn't announce to you what he's doing in your life. You just find out there are changes and you've been set on a course that begins to lead you where God really wants you to be. And the greater your purpose, the less options God allows, because he doesn't want you to make a mistake. Zechariah, when the angel of the Lord visited him and said that you're going to have a son named John, he said, well, I don't know that that's true. He said, hush your mouth, and you will not be able to speak to undo what God's plan is. Sometimes when you have a great purpose in your life, God will put you in a very narrow place to constrain you to make sure it's difficult for you to alter his plan for your life. That's a Selah. You need to think about that. Some of you are going through dire straits right now. Oh, you're praying and you're praying. But you know something? That if God answered your prayers, perhaps you wouldn't be in the place where he wants you to be. God is positioning some of you right now for what he has for you, but it's in a very narrow place. And it's a very confining place. Nevertheless, he's positioning you. In chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, Joseph was a slave working for an Egyptian captain named Potiphar. Steve's going to read that for us, but I want you to notice something. God was with him and made him successful wherever he was. But you know what? God made him successful, but he was working for nothing. He was working as a slave. Like I said, God doesn't do it our way. Our understanding is the servant is worth his hire. That's what the Bible says. But Joseph was prosperous, but it didn't have a dime in his pocket. Figure that out. Read that, Steve.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him an overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand.
Now notice, God did all of these good things for him, but he kept him in slavery. Hello? Why did he have to stay in slavery? The presence of God with him, he was prosperous, didn't have a dime in his pocket, he was a slave. It's because God was positioning him for the purpose that he had for him. He had to hang around in Egypt. If God had let Joseph out, he would have left Egypt and went back home. Continue to read, Steve.
And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored.
Now we're going to find out as Steve continues to read, and he's going to read verses 7 to 20. We're going to go right through the life of Joseph very quickly. That after God blesses you, even in the narrow place, you're going to be tested in another way. You're going to be tested in the area of your morals. Because before God can use you, he's got to settle that situation that you're not going to do something profane and stupid to bring shame upon his name. And every single one of us will be tested in that area in our lives. Expect it. And God placed him in a setting where he could not escape the test. He was a slave. Continue to read, Steve. Let's see what happens here.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph.
Trouble.
And she said, lie with me.
But and she didn't say lie to me. Notice the words. Go ahead. You don't have to repeat it.
But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has into my hand. There is none greater than this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day.
Okay, now listen, folks. It's one thing if somebody puts their hand on your leg or touches you in the wrong place, if you're alive. Some of you are still alive, aren't you? Well, there's a few of you, maybe not everybody here, but it's one thing if it happens one time, you may say, oh my goodness. But the Bible says every day this woman pursued this young man. I have one thing to say, Lord, to have mercy. Every day. He made his first stand and said, how can I do this thing? And against my God and against my master, there's no way I can do this. She said, mm-hmm, you're okay then, just like all the rest. You're a man, mm-hmm. And every day she applied a little bit more pressure. Do you know the devil doesn't give up? You have to send the devil away out of your life. You've got to take the things that bring temptation in your life and get rid of them.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Don't flirt with the devil. If you know that you're weak in an area in your life, don't flirt with the devil. Get rid of those magazines in your house. Unplug the HBO. Some of you need to even get rid of the television. Because you know it's a temptation to you. Don't flirt with the devil because he's going to come again and again and again and again. Steve, continue to read.
That he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within.
It was a setup. Go ahead.
And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand.
She wasn't taking no for an answer, Steve. Go ahead.
And fled and got him out.
He left his garment in her hand and fled. I like the way the King James said, and got him out of there. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out.
She was upset because he rejected her. Hell hath no fury. He was in big trouble then. He was in trouble for not sleeping with the boss's wife. Continue to read. What happened, Steve?
And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which you have brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass that as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out.
Well, you can imagine what happened next. Joseph had falsely been accused and his reputation was scarred as a sex offender. He didn't do anything. But that was the label he had after that, wasn't it? Potiphar took him back to the prison and said, this man is a sex offender. Keep him away from everybody. Put him in the prison. Lock him up. Throw away the key. And I can imagine Joseph saying, Lord, I did nothing. And this is what happens to me. Saints, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Get ready to be falsely accused. It's a part of the program. But the Lord will deliver you out of them all. The Bible goes on to say that when Joseph got into the prison, God gave him favor again. God turned the entire prison over to him. It was under his control. That's the way God works. In time, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh had a dream. And when Pharaoh dreamed this dream, he needed someone to interpret the dream for him. And guess who was in his prison? Joseph. God had positioned Joseph in the prison so that when Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph was right there. And the Bible says that Joseph came forth and he interpreted that dream. I'm going to ask Steve to read for us chapter 41. And I'm going to ask you to read starting at verse 29. And I'll tell you when to stop. We're just about done, folks.
Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store for the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you.
From the prison to the palace. But I want you to notice this. The Bible will go on to say that Joseph was 30 years old when his brothers finally came and bowed before him. He started the journey at age 17. Some of you will travel a lot of years before you begin to operate in the purpose that God has for your life. It's all preparation. It's all positioning. But when you get there, the promotion will outweigh more than you can even imagine. The Bible says that Joseph was second in command of the country. Pharaoh said, only in the throne will I be greater than you, but in all of the administration of the entire country, Joseph, you will be the ruler over Egypt. These were the dreams that God has given him. What dreams has God given you? What has God told you? What do you know about yourself? What has God prepared and given you? What are the gifts he has already placed within you that you see coming to the surface? God intends to use you in a greater way than you can even imagine. But it's going to take some affliction. It's going to take some time to perfect. It's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some testing in your life. You know, the last thing I've got to mention is this. The last part of the puzzle that I just want to mention, there may be many other pieces of the puzzle of purpose, but the last part is forgiveness. If you want to fulfill your purpose, you've got to forgive the people who have hurt you. God would have never let Joseph out of that prison if he could not forgive his brothers. His brothers became the children of Israel. Just think, if Joseph had killed the children of Israel, it would have destroyed God's plan. So Joseph had to stay in that prison till he learned how to forgive his brothers too. Some people are still in prisons of their own making because they refuse to forgive people who have hurt them. You've got to forgive. The Bible says that if we do not forgive those who have offended us, God will not forgive us. The Bible goes on to say, we must forgive them from our heart. It's got to be legitimate. It can't just be a foo-foo. I forgive you. No. God says from your heart, you've got to release those people and let them go. God demands it of you. Genesis chapter 15, verse 19. After Jacob died, his brothers were terrified because they really did want to kill him. They really had sold him into slavery. They had done him in, and now he's the ruler of the nation, second in charge. They were scared because now daddy's gone. What is he going to do to us? So they came and they bowed before him and said, we did you wrong. Can you ever forgive us? Don't kill us. Listen to what Joseph said. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, if you have it, Steve.
And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive.
God's plan for Joseph's life was not only to preserve the nation of Egypt, but every nation living at that time around Egypt. He controlled all of the food for the entire area and all of the nations. He said, you meant it for evil, but God, in his providence, meant it for good, that many people would still be alive during this famine. God will use the pain of our past to empower us to promote healing in the lives of others today. And God guards our purpose because he has predestinated us to have a positive impact on countless lives.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is Solving the Puzzle of Purpose, Part 3. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and I don't know what you're going through today, but perhaps you're feeling just a little bit down. Others are feeling really depressed. I want to pray a prayer that God will strengthen you, that his hope will brighten your soul and your mind, and that joy will come into your heart right now. Father, your word says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me. Father, I pray right now for people who are feeling sad. People are feeling depressed. People are just feeling down because of some situation, some circumstance. I rebuke the attack on their lives. And Lord, Father, I pray for the joy of the Lord. Lord, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let their joy return. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them, help them, bless them, be with them. We just thank you today for the answer. We thank you that all is well. Bless them and bless their families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.